How do you stamp out vaccine misinformation when it's big business for creators? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Now that COVID-19 vaccines are pretty close to mass production in the U.S., it is even more crucial to fight misinformation about them. That battle is going okay. Twitter this week said it will ban its users if they spread COVID-19 vaccine misinformation, but only after like five strikes. Facebook last month said it would remove misleading posts on both Facebook and Instagram, including removing accounts. YouTube has also said it banned COVID misinformation. But in all these cases, enforcement is spotty at best. It's a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. Sarah Fryer is a senior technology reporter for Bloomberg. She says these efforts are complicated by the fact that some social media influencers are finding that vaccine hesitancy is a great way to make a little cash.
It is not only profitable, it is a means of selling products. It's profitable in terms of boosting a following, getting people really interested in what you have to say. But if you tell people, you know, I don't think that you need to social distance, I think we just need to boost our immune systems, so don't wear a mask. Instead, you should buy my proprietary supplements that'll boost your immune system. Or instead, I will charge you a limited time offer for one-on-one vaccine consultation. And these people are not doctors. And then we have to think, as consumers of that information, who are we listening to? And are we really thinking critically about what we're being told?
And also, how much harder does it make this problem? It's one thing to sort of be playing whack-a-mole with various types of misinformation, but you're talking about creators that have tons of followers that people really are attached to. If they disappear from these platforms, then there's a lot of backlash.
There is that. And I think there's also just a lot of coded language that gets used on YouTube, Facebook's groups, Instagram's wellness community. I've seen it when we're talking about vaccines, especially, you know, one of the big hashtags is like informed consent. That's not necessarily a controversial thing to say, but it's like a wink, wink, do your own research. Don't let anyone tell you what to think. Essentially, don't listen to your doctor. Listen to me.
You know, more than 100 medical professionals send this open letter to Facebook saying that COVID-19 misinformation is prolonging the pandemic and costing lives. Is there a point at which, you know, this is such a big problem for society, for even Facebook's own employees coming back to work, for the economy, that it actually does become impossible to ignore?
I think we are approaching that point. In 2019, I should say, the World Health Organization already listed vaccine hesitancy as a top 10 thing on their radar for giant global public health problems like HIV and Ebola. But now COVID has taken this conversation beyond just the normal set of people who think about vaccination, which is parents of very young children, and into the mainstream, into adult decision-making about our own lives.
You know, this letter came out. People have been frustrated with the slow pace of enforcement of these policies. Facebook and Instagram in particular expanded the type of disinformation that the company would take down about a month ago. Have we seen any improvement?
We've seen some high-profile account removals, some of the biggest names who are spreading the most obvious misinformation. But like I said, this is now pervasive. It's not just about the group that was, you know, many thousands of members strong that was promoting an anti-vax agenda openly. It's about the local neighborhood group where, you know, people are sharing tips about what babysitter to hire, but then they're also sharing their opinion on the vaccine. And that is how this information is spreading now, because it has become a little bit more of a mainstream topic of conversation. Everyone's thinking about the vaccine. Everyone's thinking about COVID. Everyone's having these conversations now. So it's not just become something that you see as in blatant medical misinformation channels, which is what Facebook and Twitter are working to take down. It has really become something that is part of dinner table conversation, part of conversations among friend groups and groups about various interests.
You know, we and policymakers have been talking a lot about Facebook and Twitter. What about YouTube? I mean, this misinformation is rampant on YouTube, right?
I think the thing that policymakers miss is just that they don't receive their information that way. It's a younger generation that does. I mean, YouTube is the destination for trying to understand things you don't understand. Like, people go there for how-to videos about making a shed in their backyard and making a cake. Like, they're also going to go there for information on their health. I would say Instagram is also another player that doesn't get enough attention. Instagram has become host to this aspirational lifestyle, this whole contingent of wellness influencers who are teaching you how to be the best version of yourself through diet, through exercise, through manifesting your goals. And those same people have started to get questions about, you know, is COVID really a problem? Are these vaccines safe? And those people are not medical professionals, but they're giving advice on it. And often that advice is pseudoscientific and sending people down the wrong path.
Sarah Fryer is a senior technology reporter for Bloomberg. And now for some related links. We've got links to a couple stories about vaccine misinformation spreading online. A Washington Post story from February talks about how religious misinformation in particular is running rampant on TikTok and other platforms. Some churches, ministries, and Christian influencers are associating the vaccine with the devil or making false claims that vaccines were created using fetal tissue. I also threw in links to a couple of hopeful countermeasures. A piece from The Atlantic from last month about local governments who are specifically reaching out to online influencers to get them to create sponsored posts promoting vaccines and mask wearing and so on as part of a public health campaign. And there's an initiative to get young people of color on TikTok to create an awareness campaign around the virus called See Friends Again. And yes, I am aware, as we are approaching a full year of dealing with this pandemic in the U.S., that a functioning public health infrastructure would have created far-reaching social media awareness campaigns the first time pandemic March came around. But I'm trying not to be bitter. Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produced the show. Our engineers are Robin Edgar and Becca Weinman. I'm Molly Wood. That's Marketplace Tech. Have a great weekend. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.